it's important that I bring up the state of affairs that's going on and how we've got to put a stop to what's going on. Because I saw a Trump supporter speaking quite insultingly, I might add, about numerous black ladies on the Democratic side of the aisle. Laura Luma is her name. She is not a cabinet official, but she is somebody that is tied to Trump, is considered to have a very personal, close relationship with the president of the United States of America, has his ear, and obviously some of his habits, because she is more than willing to engage in incendiary verbiage about others, particularly those on the left, and in this case, black females, literally throwing out the B word to describe them. And I think that it's time to speak about these kind of issues and to address the Laura Loomers of the world, along with various others, in talking about this stuff. But before I go into that, just to illustrate my concerns here, let me play for you exactly what Laura Luma said and how she literally posted it on social media to accentuate her points. Listen.
You have to understand that stereotypes exist for a reason. And if you are one of these people that doesn't want a stereotype out there, then, you know, maybe you should start speaking out if you are a member of the black community and calling out this behavior. Call out the entitlement of these, as I like to call them, ghetto black bitches. And no, that's not, that is not painting all black women with the same brush. But there is a stereotype. And I've noticed this stereotype exists in the Democrat Party. And I don't think it belongs in the United States Senate. Unfortunately, it's already in the United States Congress. And we've seen very destructive policies and very destructive behavior already carried out by these women. I'm just going to read their names. And I think they all fall in the same category. Angie Nixon, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Cori Bush, Ketanji Brown Jackson. I mean, look at that disaster. Look at that disaster on the Supreme Court. Like, I'm just not going to fall for this gotcha politics. So that's what Abdul Al-Sayed wants to say. This is gotcha politics and cancel culture. Well, guess what? I'm going to call out these jihadist Muslims. I'm going to call out the ghetto black bitches. I'm going to call out whoever I want to call out, because I've already been canceled. Been there, done that. Bendy bank, bendy platform. I got the t-shirt in every single size to prove it to you. I'm not going to be quiet any longer. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I am so sick of the inaction. I'm so sick of people dancing around these topics because they're afraid of being called a racist or an Islamophobe or anti-Muslim. I'm so tired of people in the GOP not calling out this behavior for what it is and realizing that, you know, if you, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. You don't get to go demonize white people and demonize white politicians and white men and say that, you know, there's a white male problem or a white domestic terror problem in America when you behave like an absolute animal.
Okay. So you want people to call things out the way that it is, Laura Luma. What if somebody called you a bitch? How would you feel? I'm not doing that. I would never speak about you that way. I would never speak about any woman that way. I'm certainly not going to speak about my black sisters that way. I can tell you that much. And you're not listening to somebody right now who always agrees with them. I don't agree with Democrats all the time. I don't agree with everything that they do. I don't agree with everything that they say. But how dare you speak about them that way? Would you say that to their face? I mean, since you are so familiar with what ghetto behavior is, and you're acclimating them or associating them with ghetto behavior, have you ever been in the face of a sister that you would describe as ghetto? Do you have any idea what a ghetto B woman would do to you if you said that to their face? Why would you do something like that? Why would you do something like that? Why is that necessary? Because I'm here to tell you that it's not. I'm here to tell you that it's not. It's completely unnecessary. You got a problem with the positions of an Angie Nixon, you got the problems with the position of an Ilhan Omar, you got the problem with the positions of a Ayanna Pressley, or even a Supreme Court justice. I mean, she's not in the House of Representatives, she's on the Supreme Court. Cori Bush is a former U.S. representative. She's a former U.S. representative. She's not a present one. Pressley and Omar are in the House. Cori Bush is not in the House. She's not there. She's a former U.S. representative out of Missouri. Nixon just won the Democratic nomination for the U.S. Senate in Florida. We'll see what happens with her. Ketanji Brown Jackson, I don't agree with everything she says either. She doesn't deserve that. I mean, can we get to a point where we can get some class? I'm not even asking to emulate Michelle Obama. When they go low, we go high. How about being decent? How about talking about the issue? What's your real problem? Is your real problem that somebody like Angela Nixon wants Medicaid for all? Is it a problem for you that she's about working families and working wages? Is it a problem for you that she wants grocery prices lowered? Everybody might not be able to afford what you might be able to afford, Laura Luma. And guess what? I'm not necessarily agreeing with everything they say, because even though they might have the right ideas and somebody's heart might be in the right place, from an effective perspective, if the policies that you are promoting for implementation isn't something that's going to work for the country, speak against it. Why do we have to engage in the name calling, the juvenile tendencies, the belligerence? And you're an advisor to the president? What, the president of the United States, Donald Trump? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about Laura Luma talking about sisters, calling them ghetto black bitches? How you feel about that? Because you see, I knew Donald Trump before he ran for the presidency. And I happen to know that the Donald Trump, the businessman, the Donald Trump, the real estate mogul, the Donald Trump that oversaw those beauty contests, the Donald Trump that was the boss of The Apprentice, I happen to know that he loved being around the sisters. He didn't call them ghetto black bitches. So how do you feel about this, President Trump? You cool with that? Is that somebody you want advising you? I'm just asking. I'm not getting into Laura Luma and her policies. I'm not getting into the fact that she abhorred those who weren't in support of the Charlie Kirk resolution, because I know she's spoken out about that in the past. What I'm saying is, particularly as the midterm approaches, and particularly as the Donald Trump era, or at least his time in the White House as the president, is slowly but surely coming to an end, because it's no longer 4 years, it's no longer even 3 years, it's approaching 2 years left at the helm. All I'm trying to say is, yo, do we really need to be talking like that? And to make sure I'm clear, with somebody like Laura Luma, I'm not just talking about you. I'm using you as an example to say that across the board, on both sides of the aisle, can we stop the rhetoric? And I'm going to tell you why I want the rhetoric to stop. Because when that kind of vitriol is spewed, ultimately people are going to pick a side for the very reasons that we don't want people picking sides in a binary system. We want it to be about policy, not about behavior. That's what gets on my damn nerves about the president. That his actions and his behavior serves to alienate people from him before they even think about looking at some of his policy decisions, which they might abhor anyway, but they don't even get to that because they don't like him. And I'm a person that has this aspiration that I want everybody to look at both sides of the aisle and see what policies best serve them and their communities. And ultimately, America as a society. I don't want somebody deciding who they vote for or against because one person is distasteful and the other person might not be. One person's acting like an ass and the other person might act like they got some sense. I don't want that. I want both acting like they've got some sense. I want both being adults in the room. I want both of them to be upstanding citizens that are adults in the room and know how to work across the aisle to get things done. They just think their ability to run the country is better than the opposition. That's what I want, not this juvenile kind of stuff. Whether it's a Cori Bush, whether it's a Presley, whether it's an Angie Nixon, whether it's a Ketanji Brown Jackson, how the hell is Supreme Court justice coming to the mix with all of this? Ghetto, black bees, that's what we doing? What if somebody said ghetto white bees? What are we going to say then? Let me say the word ghetto white bitches, since you said ghetto black bitches, because I mentioned the B word with the black women, so I damn sure gonna mention it with the white women. Can we stop that, please? Can we stop that, please? And just touch on the issues. That's all I'm asking. Because allowing stuff to devolve to that level ultimately becomes so incendiary that you'll find yourself avoiding the real issues because you're influenced by the behavior. Once again, that's what I don't like about this presidency. Right now, I'm reading the Wall Street Journal. Very, very good article written by Karl Rove, Republican strategist. And he's going off about Trump and how Trump sticks with a losing midterm plan. He reportedly wants to run ads touting his record, never mind his unpopularity. And although Trump has his own polls pegging him at 48%, approval and 48% disapproval. There are other polls like Real Clear Politics and others who have his popularity rate at 36.9% and his unpopularity rate at 56.9%. That's what they're saying about him. And they're talking about him like that. They're talking about this being record lows. His popular vote margin was the fourth smallest in 60 years, according to Karl Rove. This is not a liberal writing about Trump. This is a Trump supporter writing about Trump. He says, quote, right here, given all this, why is Team Trump talking about giving Democrats what they want and making the president the face of the GOP campaign this fall, which is what the president is telling them they should do? The answer, narcissism. This is Karl Rove, not me. Mr. Trump believes that in 2024, the beauty, quote unquote, was that he won by so much. This is quoting Trump. Trump saying he won by so much. Trump thinks, another quote, the mandate was massive, end quote. The biggest, quote, in 129 years in terms of the overall mandate. And what is Karl Rove's next sentence? Not so much. His popular vote margin was the fourth smallest in 60 years. And that support has rapidly eroded. White House politics may be thinking rallies and ads are a winning ticket because Mr. Trump's pollster pegs the president's approval rating at 48% with 48% disapproving, much clearer than the Real Clear Politics average, which had Trump, by the way, at 48% last March. But there wasn't, the war in Iran is still going on. Remember the man that promised no new wars? What about that, Laura Luma? Aren't you there to keep the president apprised of his situation? Aren't you there to warn him against inconsistencies? Aren't you there because you're a personal friend of his to safeguard him from falling in an abyss? How come you haven't talked to him about these ratings or these polls? I'm not saying you did it. I don't know. I'm just assuming, but I could be wrong. But I'm saying, facetiously speaking, have you talked to him about these numbers? Have you talked to him about the dissipation of those numbers, how his popularity or lack thereof is incredibly alarming? Have you talked to him about why? Did you tell him that people are concerned about affordability? Did you talk to him about the price of gas? Did you talk to him about a debt that has now eclipsed $40 trillion? Did you talk to him about healthcare being over $5.3 trillion annually? Has 18% of our GDP, according to the latest numbers? Talk to him about that. You talked to him about fears of a recession? Did you remind him that he promised no new wars, but we're at war with Iran? Did you tell him that he hasn't explained himself well enough to the people in America about why this is still going on? Did you remind him that telling folks, oh, it's just a little pinch with the price, it'll get better. Believe me. Really, did you tell him that that ain't working? Did you tell him that? Did you tell him his focus and his fixation on the SAVE Act ain't going to save him? Did you tell him that? Is somebody going to tell him that? Laura Loomer? I'm just asking. I don't know this person, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not being disrespectful. I'm saying that her words about those black women were disrespectful. There's plenty of folks on the liberal side who happen to be white and female that she didn't say that about. Why not? Why not? And again, Mr. President, this is your girl. It's your girl. That's your friend. You cool with her talking about the sisters like that? Because from what I've known of you, up until you became the president, you've always gotten along with a lot of black women before you became president. Don't know what happened to you since. But before then, every time I saw you around black women, you were very, very nice. And you were always very complimentary of them. You cool with that? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Because somehow, some way, as the midterms approach, it would be helpful if that rhetoric was dialed back. And it gave us an opportunity to look at both sides in this binary system that we live in. Even though there's an independent base that's larger than the Republican or the Democratic base, I would know because I'm one of them, and it's at nearly 50%, whereas the Republicans and the Democrats are neither, nowhere near that. Even though an independent's going to have to vote for one or the other, the bottom line is there's more independents than there are Republicans or Democrats. Registered, that is. That is a fact. So because that's the reality, there's a base that you got to appeal to. People like me that'll vote on either side of the aisle, depending on a lot of things. Policies being first and foremost amongst them, but almost as important, how about class and decorum? If we can dial it back on both sides of the aisle, then we could find ourselves in a position where we can debate the real issues that affect the communities throughout this country. When we hear something like that, and we see you supportive of that, we know you don't give a damn about us. And if that's the reality, black folks in larger numbers than recent history coming out to vote for you or the people you support ain't gonna happen. Not a snowball's chance in hell. I wonder if Ms. Luma thought about that. I know I'm thinking about that. All this rhetoric's got to be dialed down. I'm not trying to ask for everybody to hug and sing Kumbaya. The opposition is the opposition. The op is the op. I got it. But we don't need to be doing that. We need to see and discuss a lot of things that's going on. I got a lot of things on my mind right now. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I got a lot of things on my mind right now. A few of them that I'd like to make sure that I mention. I'm thinking about, listen, did y'all hear this? These flock cameras and the issues pertaining to that, and how that's becoming alarming to the American citizen out here, because over 6,000 cameras throughout the country have been placed out there and police are misusing it and stuff like that. That's an issue. You know what else is an issue? How about that Haitian student who was a soccer player and damn good in school that ended up killing himself by throwing himself in front of a truck on Highway 70, someplace in Ohio, if I remember correctly, because he had immigration officials forcing him to put an ankle bracelet on and monitoring him and was threatening to deport him. How about that? That affects a lot of people. How about this man himself, Republican Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton? Remember, he's running for that open U.S. Senate seat. General election is November 3rd. James Tallarico, the Democratic nominee, recently beat Jasmine Crockett to capture the Democratic nomination for the United States Senate out of Texas. Remember that he's challenged to this Republican Attorney General, Ken Paxton, with a questionable history, by the way. He's challenged him to a debate. He's accepted three different times. Not only is Ken Paxton not accepted, the man hasn't had a debate in 12 years. How the hell is somebody running for a seat for the United States Senate and he's scared to debate an opponent on why he's the better man for the job? State of Texas, you better not let him get away with it. You better not let him get away with it. I don't give a damn who it is. You're running for elected office. It is your obligation to stand before the people against your opposition and debate why you the best man or the woman for the job. Ken Paxton is running. Running like a scared little cat. Go ahead and play the ad, please, Jennifer. Please play this for me, my producer, Jennifer. Go ahead.
This is Ken Paxton, and this is Ken Paxton chickening out of a debate.
Are you ready to face Mr. Tallarico in a debate, sir?
Here's what happened. Three TV networks set dates, times, and locations for debates between U.S. Senate candidates James Tallarico and Ken Paxton. James Tallarico agreed immediately. Ken Paxton didn't. His handlers swear he's just ironing out the details. They've been saying he's close to an agreement for weeks. But we know Ken Paxton. He hasn't debated anyone since he was impeached for bribery. He hasn't debated anyone since he was indicted for fraud. He hasn't debated anyone since giving an Epstein-style sweetheart deal to an admitted child predator.
This is not going the way it should.
In fact, he hasn't debated anyone in over 12 years. We get it. Ken Paxton's billionaire handlers won't let him answer questions in public. They've got a lot riding on their favorite puppet becoming their own personal U.S. senator. And they know that if he opens his mouth, he'll lose the election. And they'll end up losing a whole lot of money. But go ahead, prove us wrong, Ken. Show us your billionaire handlers will finally let you on stage. Vote for James Tallarico. He's not chicken.
A United States Senate candidate running and hiding rather than debating. And 31 million people in the state of Texas are letting him get away with it, evidently. That's something worth debating. Not one woman calling several others bitches. Can we please grow up and simply focus on the issues? I'm not trying to disrespect or denigrate anybody. I'm asking us, especially in our politics, not to do that when we have such important issues to discuss. Can't that be enough? Can't that be enough? That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.